my story takes place when I was 5 years old. And I was living in Holland, Michigan. And you ain't much if you ain't Dutch. I ain't much and proud of it. One of the things that I loved to do as a child that age was sing. And singing made me happy. And I was a very happy child. And that meant I sang morning, noon, night, day in and day out. I also had an unshakable belief in Santa Claus. And it was such a strong belief that I didn't waste my time writing him a letter, leaving lists on the kitchen table, hints to my parents, pointing things out in the store. I put everything I had to my visit, and yes, sitting on Santa's lap. I had that conversation, and then that's the one that mattered. Wow. I didn't see milk's shake stains, however. And kind of adding to all the drama of my upcoming visit to Santa every year was my father was the one that went with me to see Santa, and it was always spur of the moment. I never knew when the moment would come, so I always had to be ready. And typically, right after breakfast, my mother would call from someplace in the house and say, "Suki, Daddy called. Santa wants to see you today." So that meant a bath, get dressed, get into town to see my father. And we'd walk down the street to Gilmore's department store. And we would go through these heavy brass revolving doors back through the store to Santa's workshop. And there sat Santa. And somehow, I don't know how this happened, but there was nobody else there. No line, no child already on his lap. I had Santa all to myself. And he said,
"Well, hello, Suki. How are you? Come sit on my lap."
And I did without hesitation because I was ready for this. First question, "Well, now tell me, have you been a good girl this year?" I had example after example after example, and I was prepared to tell them all. So I started in, and he cut me off at maybe the third one and said, "Oh, you have been a good girl this year. And what would you like under the Christmas tree?" I think in fundraising terms, this is now the ask. I was also ready for that. I wanted a bicycle. And I wanted it blue. I wanted two white stripes towards the outside of the front and the rear bumpers. I wanted a tan seat, no streamers, no basket, no bell, and no horn. "Oh, that's a really special bicycle. I don't think I've ever seen one that special," said Santa Claus, in case I had to say that. "I'm going to have to ask Mrs. Claus tonight if she's ever seen a bicycle that special. Oh, it sounds so special." And with that, I slipped off his lap, retreated through the store and back home, and spent the next several days. Did he get it? Was he listening? And now it's Christmas Eve, and I had one very important thing to do, and it wasn't his snack. This is about me. I was wanting my father and asked my father, please make a sign for Santa. Never had done this before. And let's pin it to the tree. The sign says, Santa, please put Suki's gifts here. Now, the key thing about the sign was the arrows. One arrow down, but here. One arrow this side, one arrow this side. Why? Because the bicycle needs room. So, that morning, down the stairs, through the house, to the room with the tree. What did I see? Yes! The bicycle, the exact bicycle I wanted. And I walked round and round and touched and stroked and felt. And then I was consumed. We had to sing. Now, everybody sing. Never done this before. We all grabbed hands, my parents and my brothers, and we walked around the tree two, maybe three times. I led them in singing, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jesus. Happy birthday to you. And my oldest brother, who was 14 at the time, said, this is stupid. And went back to his presence. Whatever. I was happy. I needed to sing. Now, a quick PS about this bicycle. It is the only bicycle I've ever had. I rode it all through school, summer vacations, and when I left home, yes, I left the bicycle, but the few times that I returned home as an adult, I always went to check to make sure that my parents hadn't tossed it. Several years ago, I did what is inevitable. I went back home with my brothers and we sorted through who's going to take this and who's going to donate that and what's going to get pitched. Every morning a truck would arrive and junk would be put on the truck and pulled away and it would come back the next morning. And I knew what I had to do, and you know what's coming. So one morning, I was outside waiting for the truck to arrive, and I had the bicycle right here. Tires were flat, was all dirty, fenders a little bit rumpled, but it was still the best bicycle in the world. Truck comes, they put it in position, put the ramps in place. One guy comes to me as if he's going to take the bicycle. I said, uh-uh. I pushed it up the ramp into the dark truck, came out, and I said, please leave the bicycle where it is, because I wanted it buried in junk. So I didn't have an opportunity to scrounge through and pull it out. I spent the morning upstairs, the opposite side of the house, so I couldn't hear anything, sorting through probably 50 years worth of bed linens. When I was finished, I came downstairs, and yes, I looked out the window. The truck was gone, and so was the best bicycle in the world. Thank you.